Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. I just want to begin by saying to you, thank you for your prayers yesterday for my sister Tara. Absolute perfect procedure, and everything is fine for her. Went clear. She texted me when I got off the air, and I'm very grateful for your prayers. Father Rocky had reached out to me. I knew he was praying, and I sent him a text, and I always want to say thanks to God. I always want to say thank you to you. I think, you know, we ask for prayers so often, God answers prayers, and so often we never thank him, right? We forget. Oh, we'll give him a quick, hey, thanks, Lord, for hearing that prayer, and then we're on to our next petition. You know, my heart has been filled with thanksgiving recently. I just really want to thank God for the abundance of blessings and being able to really see him in my life. And I'd encourage you to pray that way, too. And when you pray in thanksgiving, when you evaluate, you inventory how God is working your life, you know, that fear we talked about, that lack of trust, it diminishes because you're going to realize God's with you in a very intimate way. A couple prayer intentions here. I was just going through them, and a lot of them come in. I can't always write back, and I don't always share them all on the air, but I'll do my best. This one struck me. It was only one sentence, and this person wrote, my daughter, 20 years old, is experiencing same-sex attraction, period. So I want to pray for that mother, that father. I want to pray for that person, and we just really ask God to intervene in that family. I know it's a struggle for parents so often when they hear that news. We'll pray for that person as well, and all those that have same-sex attraction. This person says, we've been married over 43 years. My wife had a very traumatic upbringing, was in therapy for over 20 years. She's overcome a great deal and reached a level of stability. And she's always had the elements of, of an obsessive compulsive personality disorder. Now we're in her 60s. It's getting harder to the point that it's impossible to continue at this level of strife. I only want what's best for her. I only want what's best for her. He says, I believe in the power of prayer and especially of the chaplet. And I promised him I would go ahead and pray for him. He has to keep his name anonymous, so I'll do that. But I want to thank you for writing, and be assured of our prayers, and grateful for you writing in. What a cross. My wife and I shared that email with her when it came in. He's married 43 years. 20 years his wife has been in therapy. She's had a couple suicide attempts. She has dissociative identity disorder. In this man for 43 years now, now in their 60s, has been a faithful spouse, fulfilling his vocation there. And just, he's asking for a miracle. He says, long story short, my wife needs a miracle. I believe in the power of united prayer. That's you and me. It's all of us praying together. There's a power in it. Christ promised when two or more are gathered, he's present. I really want to pray for this man. I want his wife to be able to come back. My father was an alcoholic for years. And I'll tell you what, his addiction was totally broken. His remaining 20 years of his life, addiction-free. I mean, it was wonderful, right? And I believe the same thing can happen for this man and his wife. Why can't God go in and heal that? Totally liberate, free, restore, allow this man to have the remaining 20 or 40 years of his life with his wife. I really pray that happens. Another person says, would you pray for our friends Ron and Jean? Ron's scheduled for surgery tomorrow. He's got a tumor on his brain. Please pray for a miracle, Drew. Pray for his doctors and his family. Thank you. I try to listen to the chaplet every day. Another person writing in for a skin condition, which is very troubling. And anyone who has a skin condition, you know how difficult that can be. They say Relevant Radio truly is a beacon of hope. Well, thank you for that. And God bless you. And so many other intentions. Like I'll stop there for now. But let me open the mic for Maggie. She's praying with me today. Of course, Maggie will be monitoring your Twitter intentions as they come in. But Maggie, I always offer you the opportunity. Anything you'd like to pray for or anything important for you?
Absolutely. My mom just healed up from a kidney infection, and she's been experiencing some strange pain in her side, even though the infection is cleared up. So just want to lift her up and for relief from that pain.
All right, we'll lift up your mom, who I know is a prayer warrior. We've talked about her in the past. Prayed for Maggie's conversion, and we'll certainly pray for her. And we'll pray for you. If you're on hold right now, I'll do my best to get you. If you can't get through, it's Twitter, @DrewMariani Show, to do that. Send me your answer prayers, or send your answer prayers to drew@relevantradio.com in the byline. Just mark answered prayers. And we're getting lots of them. I'm very grateful. This person says, I called a couple of weeks ago, and my prayer has been answered for myself. God is doing justice with the managers at my complex. He says, also, I've been praying for this firefighter, Mason, to return home safely. He's been fighting wildfires in Arizona. He has returned safely. So grateful for that. Praise God, and thank you and your listeners for their prayers. Another person says, look, I didn't call in for my prayer request, but I believe in asking our Lord for help. And while you were online praying, knowing that we are a family of intercessors, that they would be there for me, especially when numerous times my same request was being addressed. Thank you for those prayers. I had to tell you, I want to share with everyone, the request I made was answered. Now that's, and I love that particular email, and I'll leave it at this point. It's so true. We don't always all get through on the phone lines, right? We don't always have our intention read. But we're praying. God knows our heart. He knows our intention, you know, and we're praying for each other. And I know God's mercy is flowing. So let's pray right now. We'll tap into that torrent of grace that he wants to bestow on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from 11-year-old Matthew, praying with us in Chicago. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Drew Mariani. I wanted to pray for my aunt that is dying in the hospital from leukemia, and they're trying to take her off the ventilator. We're asking for a God's miracle if that is his will.
It's a beautiful prayer. It's a perfect prayer, Matthew. I love that. And your aunt's very lucky to have you as a nephew. We always want to pray for God's will, whatever that is, but pray big, okay? Let's pray for a miracle. Let's pray that her health and her situation changes. And I want to call upon a friend of mine, a girl who, when she was in eighth grade, God called her home. She died from leukemia, and her name was Anne. And I never forgot her. I often ask her intercession. And I ask your intercession now, along with all the angels and saints, for this woman, this aunt who is dying from leukemia at this hour. And if it be God's will, I ask for a miracle so that we may testify to the power of God's mercy, to the promises he bestowed upon the chaplain, to the power of our united prayer. And I give you little 11-year-old Matthew. I ask that God's mercy envelop him and keep him safe and draw him close to our merciful Savior. Lord, I pray for all those approaching the hour of their death. I pray for all those with critical conditions. I pray for all those impossible situations and miracles that are needed. I just present them to you. May your will be done as we pray, eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Connie is praying in Florence, New Jersey. Hi, Connie. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you, Drew?
I'm okay. Thanks. How are you?
Good. So, I'm hanging in there. I have two prayer requests.
Sure.
My grandson had surgery 4 times on his eye, and I'm praying that this time worked. He's only 9 years old, and it started when he was 3. And so I'm just praying for you know, it to work this time, that his eye will be better and he won't have the problem that he has. And my second prayer is for I'm struggling with my daughter. I'm really having a hard time. I really don't know what to do. So I have a lot of anguish, and I just want to be able to have a mother-daughter relationship, and it's very hard, and I don't understand why.
Well, I'm so sorry.
So here are my prayers.
And, Mary.
And I did pray for your sister, too, by the way.
Connie, thank you. Thank you for calling. By the way, thank you for those prayers. My sister came through her procedure of flying colors, and actually the report was really good, so we're happy. But look, my heart goes out to you. I don't know how old your daughter is. But one thing I can tell you is God hears the prayers of a mother, and I know he feels your pain, and those tears I know he wants to wipe away. And my wife and I will pray for you and for your daughter, okay, for that relationship that God will heal it.
Thank you so much.
It's okay. I mean, you know, just keep praying. Just put her in the hands of the Lord, and this is a cross for you. You know, by the pain, all this anguish that you're feeling, offer it to the Lord. United to that of him on the cross, say, I offer it for her conversion. Offered for her conversion, so she'll get through this. You're going to get through this. I look, you know why I say this, and I'm convinced of it, because this is one of those prayers. The Lord promised anything that you ask in virtue of my passion, anything you ask through this chaplet, it'll be granted. It will be granted if it's according to my will, and I am absolutely convinced God's will is that a mother and daughter have a healthy relationship. I'm convinced of it. So just be patient, okay? I don't know the time frame. I don't know what's going to happen in the days ahead, but you camp out on that promise, okay? And you keep trusting.
Okay, I promise.
All right. And then you report back to me. You let me know how things work out. The Lord said, look, encourage souls whom you come into contact to trust in my mercy. He said to St. Faustina, I love these souls. I love them. I love souls that have complete confidence in me. I will do everything for them. I will do everything for them. And I know the Lord hears these prayers. I'm convinced. The Lord wants those parents and children to be unified. He wants sacramental marriage is strong. He wants your loved one free from addiction. I am absolutely 1,000% convinced that that is the case. So if you're in those situations, just pray. Put your trust in God. Know that he's a God of promise, and he never goes back on that promise, that covenant he's made. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to our third call, let me bring Maggie in. She's been monitoring all those intentions that come in every day on our Twitter. You can follow us at the show, and that's at Drew Mariani Show. Easy way to remember. You can follow me personally at Drew Mariani, but put your attentions there at the show account at Drew Mariani Show, and Maggie will bring them to the air if you don't make them through on the phones here or into our email. Maggie, what are we praying for today?
Well, Drew, I want to start off with a couple of voicemail prayer intentions that I took off the phone this morning. I actually forgot my passcode for my voicemail.
I'm notorious about it. I never check my office voicemail, ever.
You know what? I'm praying this in trust that God is outside of time for any of these people that need these prayers. So I'm going to start with a couple of those and then hop to Twitter. Barbara called for Patty. She said Patty needs a miracle from cancer that it's currently eating parts of her nose and face. I want to lift up Patty. Margaret needs prayers to heal from cancer of the uterus. Annette needs prayers for her husband, who is critical in the hospital. Marianne needs prayers for her daughter, who has an aneurysm that's about 2 millimeters in her neck. And then on Twitter, we had notes from Gail is asking for relief from chronic back pain. Beth is asking for prayers. She says she lost her job today. She's already behind in rent and car payments, and she's been dealing with something, a fraud case that was filed in her name. She says, I'm so scared. I'm 61 and I'm worried about all of this. And Sandy's asking for prayers for her son's conversion and for marriages.
Well, let's lift all those up. A lot of crosses, as we often say. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I pray for anyone with who's been scammed or defrauded, who's dealing with the IRS right now or legal matters. I give you those intentions right now, too. And we'll bring Mary in. She's praying in Texas with us. Mary, good afternoon.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Mariani.
Hi.
I'm told to make this quick. Praying for a wife and mother who's cancer. Was in remission, has returned with a vengeance, asking for the intercession of St. Joseph for a happy death for this lady, for her husband to find work, and that Our Lady would be a mother to the little girl of this unfortunate lady.
That's so sad. Mary, thank you. Thanks for calling in with that prayer. I want to pray for you, too, okay? Whatever your needs are, Lord, I just ask you to take this intercessor, Mary, and in a special way, reward her for her selflessness and for her intercession. I do pray for this mother, Lord. I never limit you. I pray for miracles. Maybe the cancer will vanish. There'll be an amazing miracle. We've seen legs regenerate and eyes regenerate and cancerous tumors vanish. But if cancer happens to be the doorway through which this soul will enter paradise, we do pray for a happy, a peaceful, a merciful death, that you'll meet her as the merciful Savior. I'm going to pray for Susie Schaefer, who's in a very similar situation. She's battling cancer, and for her husband, John. I want to pray for all those who are approaching death. We all will make this passage, Lord, that you'll be with us. You'll meet us as a merciful Savior. Give us the grace to grow in holiness, to know, to love you, to detach from sin, to rise above evil, and to grow in holiness. But I give you the loved ones, too, who at this time struggle in their own ways. I just submit all these intentions to you as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Now I want to pray for marriage today, too. A little bit later, we're going to talk about marriage in the program. And I've received a number of emails. We touched on it briefly yesterday. And there's so many marriages where there's anger, where there's division, where there's infidelity, where there's what appears to be lack of love, where partners have really grown apart, where it's not just a pleasant environment. I really want to pray for marriage. God will fortify and strengthen those good, holy marriages, and then he'll heal those that certainly need it. Karen is praying with us in the great state of Illinois. Hi, Karen. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. You're welcome. I know firsthand the power of divine mercy and the miracles, and I appreciate your ministry in this. I want to ask for healing for three people quickly. First, my cousin Anne Marie, who had brain surgery to remove a tumor, and now she's developed blood clots.
Wow.
And then two shooting victims, off-duty Chicago police officer Danny Golden was trying to break up a bar fight and was shot in the back, paralyzed from the waist down.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
And for 8-year-old boy Cooper Roberts, 8-year-old boy from the Highland Park Parade shooting last week, he's taken a turn for the worse. He is also paralyzed from the waist down. Setbacks now, he's got a lung collapse, a tear in his esophagus, he's got a fever, an infection, and undergoing a lung surgery, his 7th one today. He's in critical condition. So pray for them and for all shooting victims and an end to all this violence. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to pray for you, too, and for all of your needs, too. Karen, thank you for calling in. But it's so senseless, isn't it, as you go through the litany of people who should not be in the hospital right now. We have to pray for the conversion of those who perpetrate these evils. Lord, I pray for this country, for your mercy on it. I pray for the healing that we need within hearts, within families, and within our society at large. And I do pray for these families who struggle with loved ones who now face paralysis or a very difficult healing process for surgery. And I give you every one of Karen's intentions. I pray for the dissolution right now of those blood clots that she talked about with her cousin, that she can recover completely and totally. So, Lord, I give you these needs, these intentions. I unite them to all who are praying with us now as we turn to you and pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our fifth decade. Camilio is listening in Illinois, praying with us there. Hi, Camilio.
Hi, Drew. I have called in the past for my son who had a tumor and everything turned out great. I don't want to take too much time. I'm calling on behalf of a friend of mine, Tom, who this morning on his way to work riding a bicycle was hit by a car. And it's in intensive care at Lutheran General Hospital with internal bleeding and a broken pelvis. Praying for his quick recovery and for his daughters and wife to accept God's will, whatever that may be.
Camilo, I want to pray for you too. Okay, I want to lift you up. Thank you for calling. That's such a tragedy. I say it all the time, don't I? We don't know the day or the hour. You're struck by a vehicle. Your life has radically changed. We just received a comment that came in on Twitter, too, from Barbie. He said, could you pray for a friend of mine who just lost her daughter and son-in-law in an accident over the weekend? They were only married for 5 months. But I don't understand the mystery of suffering or tragedy. I know one day I will, but I trust in you. I know you bring good out of every situation. Now, I just give to you now all these souls who are crying out to you for your mercy, who have their own struggles, both large and small. And I just ask by the virtue of these intercessory prayers, by the united prayers of your children here, by the passion and death of your son, that you allow torrents of grace to flow, that miracles can unfold, that your mercy can be proclaimed. And with trust we pray, eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Lucy, Patron Saint of Eyes,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
Venerable Mazzucchelli,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for praying with me. I can't tell you what an honor it is, what a privilege it is to be able to pray with you and for you. Please, I know that God is working. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit sometimes very powerfully here as we pray this chaplet. Answers are unfolding. They're coming. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be a month or a year from now. Remember to jot them down and send them in to me, drew@relevantradio.com. The byline, just write answered prayers. They built my own faith. They're a testament to the power of this prayer and the promise that our Lord made to all of us. And continue to trust. Continue to pray. Do not abandon. Do not give in to the temptation of the world to be filled with fear and anxiety. You know, Saint Albert the Great, he once said that the greater and the more persistence your confidence is in God, the more abundantly you will receive all that you ask. And I love that. It just fits so precisely with this message of Saint Faustina. The more persistence your confidence in God, right? The more you'll be rewarded. It's fundamentally what that says. You know, God hears these prayers. I'm going to take a short break. I'm going to be back in just a second. When I do, I'm going to look at marriage today. If you're having a troubled marriage, you're having some difficulty, we'll be joined by a marriage therapist. Chuck Neff will be stopping by a little bit later. He's been having phenomenal results in his marriage ministry. I think you'll really appreciate that conversation. But I want to deal with something else too, the future of same-sex marriage. You know, there's been talk that with the Dobbs decision, the overturning of Roe, is it possible that Obergefell, which was decided in 2015, which redefined marriage in this country, was that as unconstitutional as Roe? It raised a lot of questions. We'll explore that and a whole lot more. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
You know, we receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
You've noted that Justice Thomas indicated that the court needs to take another look at cases like Obergefell, the same-sex marriage case that went before the court. Does putting that language in a decision like this start to signal to lawyers and legislatures around the country, all right, now it's time to come up with a case to challenge these things, and the decisions from the court might change in terms of striking down the right to same-sex marriage?
Yeah, Justice Thomas often gets discounted. He's thought of as writing these more extreme concurring or dissenting opinions. But consider this, for a leader to have written the opinion, presumably Justice Thomas, who is the senior most justice on the bench who would have concurred with that opinion, he would have assigned Alito the opinion. So Justice Thomas arguably has some power in this area. And if he ends up with the majority, some of his positions on reevaluating cases like Obergefell or any of the others that he mentioned could be a real, real possibility.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, reevaluating same-sex marriage. Now that Roe has been overturned, some are speculating, due to comments from the Supreme Court, such as Justice Clarence Thomas, that same-sex marriage might also be up for reevaluation. Food for thought. I thought we should talk about it today. I mean, you might work with somebody or have somebody you know in your life that has been married and they're same-sex. You know, you see it on television all the time. A lot of different people talk about their spouses. When the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe v. Wade was handed down, Justice Samuel Alito, and as you heard that clip there, he wrote the majority opinion. And he made it clear that the decision was only related to abortion and nothing else. Because with abortion, you're dealing with human life. That was his position, right? So let's take another Supreme Court justice. Take Clarence Thomas, right? He wrote a concurring opinion, which, well, it caused a stir. It's one of the reasons I want to talk about this. It was published. It's still causing some controversy. The concurrence didn't quite agree with what Alito said. You know, Alito's assertion was that the case was only about abortion. And what Thomas was concerned about is something that was called substantive due process. It's something where judges find rights in the Constitution that just aren't there, or the authors of Roe v. Wade, you know, they originally said, oh, it's in the emanations and the penumbras. In other words, it's there somewhere, you just really can't point it out, but trust us, you know, it's in there. It's in there somewhere, right? I mean, that's kind of the logic behind it. The big deal about, you know, Justice Thomas, about his concurrence is that without this substantive due process, other key rulings in the area of sexual behavior could fall. And it's what I want to talk about. 1965, there was the very famous case, I'm sure you heard about this a million times, of Griswold versus Connecticut, which found that married couples could use contraceptives. It's one of those. Lawrence v. Texas, another big case, right? It ruled that sodomy is something that the state cannot criminalize. And then, of course, you have Obergefell, which redefined marriage. So you've been hearing a lot of whining about what Dobbs means for things like same-sex marriage, even for birth control. Most people on the conservative end of the spectrum, they haven't been paying a whole lot of attention about it because it just sounds like an overreaction. However, and I'll throw this out and we can talk about it, there are some possibilities that have come up that could challenge Obergefell. And I've invited today a longtime friend of our program. She teaches at the University of St. Thomas School of Law in Minneapolis. Professor Teresa Collette is joining us, also served on the Pontifical Council for the Family and has testified before Congress many times. And I appreciate her very salient, very balanced views and her Catholic perspective above all. Professor, good to have you with me. Good afternoon.
It is always a joy to be with you on a program.
This is something that when the Dobbs decision came out, it's something that a lot of talk took place over, and it made me think, you know, are there any legs to this? When the objections first came up that Obergefell would be overturned, if I'm correct, you originally dismissed them out of hand because you thought no one was going to challenge it. Are you still just as sure? And if not, what changed your mind? And give us some perspective on this.
Thanks. That's a great question. And you're right. The day the opinion came out, I was on the phone with various media outlets from everything from sort of the Bloomberg news outlet to Catholic radio to other Catholic outlets, et cetera. And when this question came up, my immediate reaction was, you have to have a case. for in order for the Supreme Court to even offer an opinion on whether or not a prior case is still good law. And to my knowledge, there's no state in the union that has any legislation that's being proposed that would return the definition of marriage to the natural family, the union of one man and one woman. And so without a case, what individual Supreme Court justices think doesn't matter. I mean, they're citizens, so they can certainly vote their convictions, but beyond that, it really doesn't matter what they think. However, an interesting argument was presented a couple of days ago in an article that I was reading that makes the point, and it's true, that at the time Obergefell was handed down, there were 30 states that had passed either state constitutional amendments that defined marriage as the man and a woman, or had statutes that defined marriage as one man and one woman. And those have not been reversed or overturned or repealed or withdrawn or amended. And so then the question really becomes, in a world in which an individual court clerk says, I don't think that same-sex couples are entitled to the legal status of marriage, and I am not going to issue a marriage license in this instance. And we certainly saw that even after Obergefell in a couple of counties. So if that were to arise, then the question would be, couple that's denied the marriage license could sue to compel the issuance of the license, and it could arguably work its way back up to the Supreme Court. Now, it's really important for listeners to know that the U.S. Supreme Court has complete control over what cases they choose to hear and what cases they choose not to hear. So while lots of different lawyers ask the court to hear cases from lower courts, a tiny fraction actually get accepted by the Supreme Court. Okay. So not only do we have the question of, well, what set of facts would actually create a real case where the court would even have the opportunity to review its holding, redefining marriage? And among those, would you get four justices, because it only takes four, would you get four justices on the court who would agree to hear the case? And then what would the ultimate outcome of the case be? And I think it's really important for your listeners to know that Justice Thomas' view has been, on substantive due process, has been consistent for 12 to 15 years. This is not the first time he's written an opinion saying that substantive due process, this idea that there's some, you know, sub silentio text to the Constitution, is a way to smuggle in judicial political preferences rather than serious textual interpretation. And yet, as you noted, the justice was alone in this concurrence. There was not a single justice of the majority, and certainly not of the dissent, that agreed with the justices, with Justice Thomas's view on this. So I do continue to believe that this is an argument that is largely fear-mongering. It's the ability of the president and others to sort of say, oh, this is scarier than it really is.
Right.
And so, you know, but having said that, it is not beyond my imagination that there could be a case that if the court chose to take it, could give them the opportunity to reevaluate Obergefell.
My guest today is Professor Teresa Collette. Professor, hold for just a second, because I'm going to take a short break. When we come back,
sure.
Let's take a few calls. We'll talk a little bit more about what might loom in the future for same-sex marriage in the country. If you want to join us, good time to get in. The number's 888-914-9149. You can call right now at 888-914-9149. We'll take your calls, your questions, and your comments. Our conversation continues right after this. Stay with us. You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, hey, thanks for joining me. It's good to be with you. If you're just getting plugged in, exploring an interesting question. I don't know how much weight it'll hold in the future. Will we ever see marriage return to what it has been defined as for millennia, marriage between one man and one woman in this country? Or are we going too far? Has this become so societally accepted? Is it possible that the Supreme Court in 2015 in their Obergefell decision, they erred, as they did, let's say, with Roe, and that one day Obergefell will be overturned and raises questions if that happens? We were talking a little bit about some of the justices. If you're just joining in, Justice Thomas in particular. And I have invited Professor Teresa Collette to join me. She's a law professor at the University of St. Thomas. And I want to pick up on the point. Let's just hypothetically go down this road. Okay, let's say at some point in the future, we realize that the redefinition of marriage has led to great religious persecution, to polygamy, and to polyamory, and to all these other things, right? Man, boy, love, this dark slippery slope that this thing can ultimately take some people into, possibly, right? If you want to go down that path, let's just assume. Right now, there are 30 states across the country that either have laws on their books or their state constitutions that state that marriage is only between a man and a woman. In other words, the long lasting, the definition of what marriage has always, been defined as. So if Obergefell was overturned, what would happen with those laws and constitutional provisions?
Well, that is part of the ongoing conversation. And in fact, it's my understanding that there'll be a congressional hearing tomorrow addressing part of this. It's unclear what will happen. There will be state attorneys general that will absolutely refuse to enforce it, like we see with the abortion laws across the country, right? And remember, even before Obergefell, we had state attorneys general and even the U.S. attorney general that refused to defend the laws that had been duly enacted by Congress or the legislature. Yeah. So that's one possibility, right? That it's dead letter because you've got basically, disobedience by those entrusted by the law to enforce it. Another possibility is that you will have swift state action to put ballot measures before voters to repeal those amendments or legislative repeal of the statutes on the books. Given the polling information today, and again, there are lies, damn lies, and statistics. Right.
Yeah, sure.
I don't have a lot of confidence in polling information, right, but to the extent it represents some part of reality, this is not the issue that abortion is. And that's Justice Alito's point, right? There, after Obergefell, you do not find hundreds of thousands of people paying their way to go to Washington, D.C., to march in the streets and stand at the steps of the Supreme Court to evidence their support for traditional or natural marriage the way you have literally every year and have had for almost 50 years and will continue to have. You know, thousands and thousands and thousands of people come into Washington, D.C. at great personal expense for some of them, spend the night on cold church floor to be able to march the next morning. And so I don't know that there's the political will to reinstate marriage, which many social science and legal scholars, which again, we can talk about the corruption of the academy, et cetera, but there is, marriage is an institution that is really, you know, losing its grip on American society. And as you said in your opening, that has led to all sorts of pathologies. It's crystal clear that the best place, and even, you know, the serious, reasonable advocates for redefining marriage, accept that the best place for a child to be raised is in the home of its biological mother and her biological father in a permanent, loving relationship. Everybody agrees. Amen. That's what's best for children. But, you know, the question is, have we so drifted from that? Cohabitation, right, is now so accepted, even by faithful Catholic families, that, you know, our children are adults. They actually are now in senior management in certain circumstances.
Right,
it's like,
sure,
I can hardly tell them how to live their life.
Yeah, right. So, such a great point. You know. Well, let's do this. We'll grab a couple of quick phone calls. We only have a minute or two left. Eric's been waiting. He's in St. Paul, Minnesota. He's got a question for you, Professor. Hi, Eric. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Yeah, when Obama was campaigning his first term in 2008, he publicly was against gay marriage. Now, what, in 2004... 13 states banned gay marriage, in 2006, another 10. And in 2008, these are all referendums that the people voted. Florida, California, and Arizona all banned gay marriage. So that made 29 states by 2008 all against it. No one voted for it that I know of. So what changed in the last 12 years?
Go ahead, Professor.
Well, I think there are a number of things that changed. Number one, you have an educational establishment throughout this country, top to bottom, kindergarten to postgraduate, right, that has taken aggressive stances on this, including Catholic universities, sadly like my own, that have, you know, essentially evangelized on behalf of a new definition of marriage. So you have that. You also have a very aggressive Democratic party that, and frankly, even the Republican Party in power under President Trump, this was just not an issue that they were willing to take on. And finally, you have large corporate employers like Target and Google and all of these other employers that it is a part of the orthodoxy. And if you want to maintain your employment and if you want to progress in the workplace, you better at least be silent on it and preferably endorse it. So part of it is tremendous cultural power. And frankly, the church has not had the ability to adequately counteract it yet.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Professor, I want to thank you for your time. It's always good to have you here with me. And we'll see how this shakes out. You're a wagering woman. You say, hey, we're not going to see Oprah Gefell challenged or overturned in the not-too-distant future.
I am grateful for the opportunity to be on your show. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you. Just following up on that final point, you don't see a change coming for Oprah Gefell, correct?
I do not.
No challenges? Okay. Doctor, thank you. We'll catch up again. We will. I love it. I think you're right on. I think that's Dr. Teresa Collette. You can check her out online, too. She teaches law at the University of St. Thomas School of Law in Minneapolis, great institution there. Published a lot of legal articles, co-author of a law casebook on professional responsibility, amongst other things that she's done. Even served on the Pontifical Council. So I appreciate her view. I think she's right on. Yeah, just a final thought on this whole issue of marriage. That battle continues now on the state level. We've had a victory. One of the biggest issues that I think we face as a culture today is how we define marriage. I mean, there's a certain truth here, right? Well, what is marriage? How did God intend it, right? You know, there's a push to say that two men or two women can get, quote, married. The Catholic Church, a lot of other groups, have been very clear that this is not the case. I said there's a number of states in our nation that have defined marriage as being between one man and one woman, although the Supreme Court ruled in a very close decision to say no, that two men, two women can get married. It opens a Pandora's box The problem we're seeing today, marriage is failing. And it's failing not because of marriage, but because of us. I really believe we're in this time of confusion because we are failing marriage. We're failing it because we've lost our understanding of what the sacrament of matrimony is all about. And as a Catholic, as a Christian, when you enter into that sacrament, you should know what you're entering into, that marriage is built on three things. One, it's on exclusive fidelity, right? The second pillar of marriage is a lifelong relationship. It's indissoluble by its nature, right? What God has joined, no man can dissolve. And then the third thing, which has totally been taken out of the equation, is being open to life, open to children. So those are the three legs of marriage. And you can see the attack on it in so many different areas. Exclusive fidelity, lifelong, you know, relationship, and being open to children. So what do we do? How do we allow this to continue, and what do we do to change it? We need people like you and like me to be, if you're married, to be powerful witnesses for what true and holy marriages are all about. Pope John Paul II gave a prophetic warning to the world. He said, as the family goes, so goes the nation, and so goes the whole world in which we live. We should take that seriously.